Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way Radio. This is where you learn to identify, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but can thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries, and it is an absolute honor to have you with us here today. Now, what's going to be in our schedule for our 30-minute time together? Well, first, we will wrap up taking a look at the four different ways God gives us to share in ways that are pleasing to Him. Recall, we can tithe, give out of our obedience, give from our abundance, and then today you're going to discover what it may be like to be able to give sacrificially. Next, you're going to hear some very specific giving questions and also what might be some very controversial responses to a couple of husband and wife giving questions. That's going to be interesting. And then our consumer advocate friend Clark Howard, well, he is going to share with us what private mortgage insurance is all about and how you might be able to arrange to stop paying it off early. And finally, Christian author and speaker and teacher, trainer, mentor, and coach John Maxwell is going to share with us his thoughts on the word equip during our Minute with Maxwell. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be a great time together with the Lord. And as we start, well, as we always start, join me for a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear? To your glory, in Jesus' mighty name we ask, Amen. My friend, the Lord has been showing us just a bit of each of the four different ways to share God's way. He started with the tithe, which, remember, you discovered is the minimum God ever asks for. The tithe is your minimum testimony that God is the owner and you are His manager. You are His steward. And also remember, you don't tithe to get close to God. You tithe because you are already close to God. So we start with the tithe. But the tithe, well, it is just the minimum God expects from us. You see, God knew there will always be those who want to do more than just the minimum. So He shows us three ways we can give above and beyond the tithe, above and beyond the minimum. Now, the first of these three sharing levels is out of obedience, which is where, as a Christian, you predetermine that you are always going to do whatever it is that the Lord asks you to do, right? Therefore, listen. After you tithe, you give out of obedience when the Lord convicts you to share with others who are in need, out of a conviction that they ought not do without. You see, sharing out of obedience is summed up very nicely this way. What you can do, you should do. In a world that couldn't care less, you need to be somebody who couldn't care more. So, you have the tithe, sharing out of obedience, and then comes sharing out of our abundance. And here the Lord shows us that to share from our abundance, we need both an abundance to share and a plan to share the abundance. And we talked about how to do both of those things last time. So, what do we have? We have tithing, sharing out of obedience, sharing from our abundance. And finally, well, let's see what the fourth and highest level of sharing God's way is all about. It is called sacrificial sharing, sharing sacrificially. And actually, Jesus gives you a very clear reference to sharing sacrificially when He and His disciples were standing in the temple in the court of the women, and they were observing the Jews as they came by placing their gifts into the temple treasury. Now what I need you to do is to use your imagination here for just a minute. For example, we know from history that the collection box had a trumpet-shaped metal receptacle on the top. It had a big mouth and a somewhat narrow middle, and then much larger again at the bottom as it dumped the coins into the collection box. And we also know from history that, again, the money was metal at that time. So you could probably tell the size of the coin by listening to the sound that it made when the money was deposited, right? Sure. Okay, now hold on to that thought for just a minute, all right? Now, recall also that Jesus Christ taught about the Pharisees and the scribes, right? Now, remember he said that they liked to make a show of their positions? So when the Pharisees gave, they probably wanted to make sure that everyone knew that they were giving and that they were giving a large sum of money. Now, just how could they do that? Well, again, remember, the offering boxes had those metal-shaped horns. Again, big at the mouth, narrow at the middle, and larger at the bottom. And if the Pharisees flipped those coins just right, well, those coins would make such a bunch of noise as they spun down inside those medical receptacles that everybody was going to hear. And because the Pharisees were rich, well, they probably gave gold, and we know that gold is a heavy metal. So again, if they flipped those heavy gold coins just right, those coins would make a lot of racket. You know, whang, 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 whang. And everybody would turn and look and be impressed. Got the picture? Okay, now what about the scribes? Well, the scribes, well, they normally didn't make as much money as the Pharisees, so they probably couldn't afford to give gold. They probably could afford to give silver coins, right? Now remember, silver is also a heavy metal, but it is not as heavy as gold. And it wouldn't make as much noise as the gold, but if they flipped those silver coins just right, whang, 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 whang. Again, almost everyone would hear and turn and look and be impressed. Now, honestly, I have to say that I don't know for sure that is what happened, but it sure seems logical to me, and it really does help paint a clear picture in my mind as I read what God has to say in Luke 21, 1-4 about the widow and her giving. You know, giving that gives us a picture of what it's like to give sacrificially. Let's take a look. Let's take a look and see what the Bible says. As he looked up, Jesus saw the rich putting their gifts into the temporal treasury. Now, in my mind, that's where we have whang, 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 right? So what happens? Well, Jesus looks up, and when he does, he sees the rich and the not so rich, you know, putting some gold and silver coins into the collection box. But then while he was still looking, the Bible says, he also saw a poor widow put in two very small copper coins. Two small copper coins. It's called the widow's mite. Two very small, very light copper coins. You, what I see in my mind is that at this lady, as she was going by that collection box, she put in her very light copper coins. And what happened? Whoosh, you know, rightly, I mean, hardly made a sound. I mean, they just kind of floated into that collection box, right? But Jesus saw her. He probably didn't hear her because the last thing that she would want to do would be to draw attention to herself. He probably didn't hear her give, but he sure saw her give. And what did Jesus say? I tell you the truth. Now you got to know that when Jesus Christ says, I tell you the truth, well, it's kind of like that old foot stomp that your teacher used to give you back in school when you were getting ready for a test, right? You know, the foot stomp meant, hey, listen, pay attention. This is important. It's going to be on the final. So when Jesus Christ says, I tell you the truth, what he is going to share next is going to be very, very important, and we ought to pay very close attention. So when he says, I tell you the truth, She put in more than all the others. All of these people gave their gifts out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, gave all that she had to live on. Now you got to know this is an interesting choice of words. Jesus said that she put in more than all of the rest, yet it was only two very small copper coins. I mean, do you see it? Do you see it, my friend? The key here is the attitude of the widow. It is not the amount that she gave, but her attitude. The widow wasn't giving to impress anybody. I mean, I got to tell you, the history will tell us that the temple didn't need her copper coins. As a matter of fact, it was probably a pain to work with those copper coins, just as it can be a pain to work with our copper pennies today. And remember, the temple was plated with gold and silver and brass and bronze on the inside and the out. The temple did not need those two small copper coins. But they sure were important to Jesus, weren't they? Jesus Christ said that she gave all that she had. You see, she gave the rent money, the food money, the entertainment and recreation money, the gas money, the vacation money. Man, she gave it all. She gave all that she had to live on because she loved God. And obviously she had a bigger need to give than to cover her own living expenses. She felt the need to sacrifice to God. And here again, according to Jesus, her gift had nothing to do with the amount or the value. It had everything to do with her attitude. Now, I don't remember who said this, but someone once said, and I count it as truth. Someone once said that God does not measure the value of your gift by the amount that you give. He measures the value of your gift by the amount you keep for yourself. You see, this lady had very little, and she gave all that she had. Yet Jesus said she gave more than anyone else. Yet it was only two small copper coins. This lady gave sacrificially, and Jesus was obviously touched by what he saw. My friend, sacrificial sharing is an essential attitude for every Christian to adopt, including you and me. Now, this may not necessarily mean sacrificing your needs, you know, the basic essentials of life, like food and shelter and clothing, but it may mean giving up, at least for a while, some of your wants and some of your desires, such as, sports, bowling, you know, golf, eating out. It may mean passing up new cars, maybe a boat or a swimming pool or even a larger home for a while. It may mean giving up some of your time to teach a class or maybe to drive a bus or even to go on a mission trip. You see, sharing sacrificially is giving up something you have every right to keep and enjoy for yourself, but you choose, out of your love for Jesus Christ, you choose to forego it and invest it into God's kingdom. And do you know what else? Sacrificial giving is possible if you have a very little or if you have a lot. You see, beginning with some of your wants and desires, you can choose to work into a pattern of living and giving that characterizes the life of Jesus Christ. My friend, if you who are totally blessed, now remember, let's put a parenthesis in here. Now remember, wealth according to God's definition, that it includes everything that he puts into your hands, to include your time and talents, abilities and skills and your finances, right? Okay. If you who are mightily blessed with wealth according to God's definition, if you are not willing to sacrifice any of that wealth for others, well, I got to believe God will just simply reallocate the supply to those who are. You need to be careful not to allow something like self-promotion, you know, like the Pharisees and the scribes did. Not allow self-promotion to crowd out self-sacrifice, as demonstrated by that poor widow. So let me ask you a question. When was the last time you can recall that you sacrificially gave into the body of Christ? Oh, wow. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you. Now, let's start to wrap up all of our sharing God's way times together. Okay, let's start to wrap up a little bit. And as we do, what I want to do is to share with you one thing that I heard someone say, oh my goodness, sometime way back when. So, someone once said that God's will in any area of your spiritual life is not like a pinhead upon which you're expected to balance. You see, His will is more like a range in which you are free to operate. For example, he may not care whether you choose to be a butcher or a baker or a candlestick maker. He may not care what you choose. But listen, he has some minimum requirements no matter what you choose to do. Whatever you choose to do, you need to do it as if unto him. And my friend, that is exactly the same way with sharing God's way. He tells you that he has a minimum standard for sharing his way, and it is called the tithe. And you are told not to rob him by withholding that tithe from him. So first you have the tithe. That is a minimum acknowledgement of God's ownership and your stewardship. But God also knew that there were always going to be those who would want to always do more than just the minimum that God ever expect. So he gives you ways to give above and beyond the minimum and receive even greater blessings. He shows you how you can share out of obedience or share from your abundance and even how to share sacrificially. But let me tell you something. According to the Bible, these levels of giving are not for everyone. They're only going to be for you if you choose to move to spiritually higher ground, if you are willing and wanting to go above and beyond the basic requirements. But along the way, listen, I got to tell you, along the way, personal experience, listen here, as you go along, you need to be careful not to become legalistic. Again, you need to ask the right question. Remember, you need to ask the right question. So what is the right question here at this point? Well, based on God's word, that right question is, how much can I possibly invest into the kingdom of God? Not how little can I invest and get away with it and still enjoy God's blessings? Okay, right? So what about you? What about you? My friend, where do you stand before the Lord right now in the area of giving? Have you experienced the joy and the blessing that comes from the tithe or from sharing out of duty or out of abundance or maybe even sharing out of sacrifice? I'll tell you, these may be some good questions to spend some time with before the Lord, okay? Now, that's this time. Now, what about next time? Well, next time, we're going to deal with some very basic questions that you may have about sharing God's way. Questions to include things like, what exactly is the percentage of the tithe? Or do I tithe on the net or the gross? Or where should the tithe go? With whom should I share? With whom should I not share? Honestly, this is going to be another great time together with the Lord, and I promise that you just may be in for a surprise or two. So don't miss it. Okay, now let's continue to build on what the Lord is giving us about giving by taking a look at a couple of more detailed real-world questions, okay? Here is the first question. And by the way, see if this relates to you or maybe even to somebody you know. Here's the question. Bob, I am a Christian, but my husband is not. I want to tithe, but my husband does not. Should I tithe anyway? I've had counsel from Christians on both sides of this issue. I want to honor my husband, but should I honor him above the Lord? Peggy, really, really good question. Couple of things I would suggest, and I hope you're listening today because we just talked a little bit about this. Remember, it is not the money that you give that is important. It is your attitude that you have about whatever it is you choose to give. Plus, 1 Peter 3:1 through 6 tells you that as a wife, most of the times it's going to be your job to be submissive even to your husband, even if he's unsaved. You're to be submissive to him as you would be as if unto the Lord. Now, I got to tell you again, according to the Bible, your reward from God comes as a result of your attitude. You see, when you commit in your heart to give, your reward from God is absolutely assured at that point. However, let me offer you a suggestion, okay? Why not, for example, ask your husband if he would allow you to begin giving something, anything. I mean, even a small amount each month. Tell him that you would like to give and to continue doing this for a period of 1 year. And at the end of that year, you and he will sit down together and determine if you are any better off or are you worse off financially. And if you are worse off financially, well, you agree, you're going to stop giving. Not going to happen anymore. But on the other hand, if you and he determine that you are better off financially, well, in that case, you would like to give even a little bit more. Okay? Now, obviously, I got to tell you, this is a test from God, right? But I also believe that Malachi 3:10 tells us that we can test God in this area. So why not let God prove himself to your husband? Now, I have to tell you that there have been a whole lot of wives who have tried this experiment and found that it to be the very first step in their husband's coming to the Lord. Great question. Now, here's another, only from another point of view. Listen carefully here. Reverend Louder, I am a Christian, but my wife is not. I want to give the tithe, but my wife disagrees, and we always end up arguing about it. Do you believe that as a Christian husband and the authority in our home, do you believe I should tithe regardless of whether my wife wants to or not? Billy, hear me out on this, because what I'm about to share with you, I got to tell you ahead of time, is not going to be socially acceptable to a whole group of folks out there, okay? And including to a whole group of Christian folks out there. Now, Billy, according to God's word, the husband is to be the leader of the home. We know that. But I do not believe that giving should cause a rift in your marriage. You ought to make every attempt to share with your wife the biblical principles about tithing, you know, its purpose, and maybe even to challenge her to the tithe as a family to see how God might bless your family finances. But however, I got to tell you, ultimately, as the authority over your family, even though your wife doesn't agree, I believe that you must tithe if you continue to feel compelled by the Lord to give. Now, having said that, your giving may temporarily annihilate your wife, but I got to tell you also that most wives are looking for strong, godly leadership. They really are. If other Christian principles are up and operating in your life, she's going to likely see that tithing is a commitment that you have, and it is not a legalism. However, I would suggest that you do not force this decision on your wife merely to assert your authority. Just don't go in that direction. You know, why not try to convince her that really tithing is a heartfelt conviction that you have? You know, talk with her, counsel with her, seek her opinion to see if there's some reasonable middle ground. Perhaps you could come up with a lesser amount for a time. Now, that might show her that you do care about her feelings. Now, whichever way you decide to go, I got to believe that God will prove himself faithful in your finances. But ultimately, the decision has got to be yours. Billy, the Bible says in Matthew 10:37, it says this: He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Take that into heart as you prayerfully make your decision on this. Great question. And actually, wow, those are a couple of great questions, right? That will surely raise some eyebrows around town, even in your Christian communities. But let me ask you, what do you think about these responses? Better yet, what I challenge you to do is to take some time, prayerful time, before the Lord to research in your Bible and see how he would cause you to respond to these two questions. Now, if you are making mortgage payments on your home, Clark Howard suggests that it may be a good time for you to get rid of your private mortgage insurance, which is known as PMI. Now, what is PMI and why should you want to get rid of it? Well, private mortgage insurance, it's a kind of insurance that you may be required to buy if you're applying for a home loan and you can't shoulder a down payment of at least 20%. But this insurance policy doesn't protect you as a homeowner. It protects the mortgage lender if you don't make your mortgage payments. Now, federal law tells us that you have the right to request your mortgage holder cancel your PMI when you reach the day when your principal balance on your mortgage is scheduled to fall to 80% of the original value of your home. But even if you don't ask to have your PMI canceled, your mortgage lender must terminate it on the date your principal balance is scheduled to reach 78% of the original value of your home. Now, here's the good news. Some lenders may let you pay for a new appraisal and drop the PMI if the appraisal shows that you have at least 20% of equity in your home. Here's what Clark Howard says. We need to know our area. And if you see big increases in the homes around you, then it may be worth you spending a couple of $100 to have an appraisal done and dump your PMI. Good advice. Thank you, Clark Howard. Okay, it's now time for one of my favorite times together. That means it's time for A Minute with Maxwell, as we're going to hear what coach and speaker and teacher, Christian author, John Maxwell has to say about the word equip.
Hi, John Maxwell here. Our team member, Jared, from Colorado Springs, Colorado, said, John, I want to talk today about equip. And that's a great word. It's one of my favorite words because as a young leader, I had a counseling degree. And so I did a lot of counseling my first couple of years. And honestly, it wore me out. It just was difficult and I didn't really care for it. And I don't think I was really good at it. One day, a person helped me. They said, John, when you counsel somebody, you work on their weaknesses. But when you equip somebody, you work on their strengths. And so, Jared, I'm glad you asked me to talk about equip because that's what it's all about, equipping people in the area of their strength zone. So to equip yourself, you ask yourself a simple question, what do I do well? The moment you discover what you do well, then what resources do I need? What knowledge do I need? What opportunities do I need? What experiences do I need to practice to equip myself? Because equipping is all about action. You don't just mentally equip yourself, you have to physically do it. The moment you step out, take action, practice. How do people learn to be leaders? They practice leadership. How do they practice leadership? By knowing the things they need to do to equip themselves to be a leader. So find your strength and get with it. Equip yourself so you can turn around and equip others because you cannot give what you do not have.
Wow, I love that. John is telling us that when you equip someone, you're working on your strengths. Now, that being the case, let me ask you, what are you good at? You see, we are to work to develop our strengths rather than compensate for our weaknesses. And John suggests that what you were born to do, you were equipped to do. Thank you, John Maxwell. And that wraps up our time together today. But listen, before we close, I want to remind you that if you are a local small business owner, or maybe you head up a local service organization, and you would like to share on air on our program with us and our local community what it is you do and why, then please either give me a call at 678-386-2640, that's 678-386-2640. Or you can send us an email from our website, which is www.christianfinancialministries.org. All right, let's close. Let's close as we always do, and that is with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together again today and for each of the days yet to come. To your glory, in Jesus' name, amen. Have a blessed rest of your day, won't you? And we will see you next time as we continue down your personal road to financial freedom, God's way.